Oui, clairement. Oui, clairement. Alléluia. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies toward us. Thank you for your blessings and compassions that is upon us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your interventions in our situations. Thank you, Lord, for glorifying your name in our lives. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Thank you for destroying the works of darkness, the attacks of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you, faithful Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your promises that are so sure. Your promises are yes and amen. And we have seen these promises coming to pass in our lives. We are so grateful for this, O Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the healing miracles and deliverance miracles you have done in our lives through this program, through this Healing Streams program. We thank you for more of your mighty works you are still going to do in us and upon us. Thank you, Lord. I ask that as we spend time in your presence right here this morning, O Lord, visit us in your power. Touch us with your mighty hand. Open our eyes to things that we do not yet know. Increase our faith in you. And let our prayers be answered. Thank you, Father, for we know you are going to do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I may welcome you to the Lord's presence. We are going to briefly look into the Word of God before we pray. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. Or let us start from verse 13. Exodus 3. I read from verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Now let us read verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you on the revelation behind the name of God. The revelation in the name of God. Yeah, so we can see here in verse 13, Exodus 3 verse 13, Moses was talking to God and he was saying, if they ask me what your name is, what should I tell them? Yeah, and knowing the background of Moses, that is where he was born and where he was coming from, we can relate to why he was asking God that question. Number one, you know, Moses didn't grow up among the Hebrews. He grew up among the Egyptians. He grew up in the palace as one of the princes, Egyptian princes. So he had no knowledge, no mental knowledge about God, about who he is. But he was exposed to many gods because the Egyptians, they serve many gods. They worship many gods. Yeah. So the foundation or the hope bringing of Moses gives us an impression as to why he was asking God for his name, that yeah, so that he would now to present him to the children of Israel when he visits them. So in this place, in Exodus chapter 3 verse 13, he was telling God, or he was asking God to tell him his name, so that when he goes to the Hebrews, to the Israelites, to deliver God's message to them, You will be sure that, or let me say, you'll be sure of the God that have sent him. Yeah. So Moses needed this information about God's name. Not because the Hebrews don't know God's name. They knew God's name. Yeah. But Moses needed the information so that, it's more like, to defend himself, and more like it's more like to boost his confidence, so that when he's talking to them, to the Israelites, he will be sure of who have sent him. Yeah, because he had a knowledge that there are many gods in the world. Even in Egypt, there are a lot of gods that the Egyptians worship. Yeah. So he wants to be sure, which God am I talking with? And if anyone asks me which God appeared to you and spoke to you, how will I answer such person? Yeah. So he wants to be sure of the God that is talking to him and that is sending him on the sending him on an errand. And not only that, he doesn't want to sound like a fool or sound like a confused person when he goes to the Israelites to deliver the message to them. Praise the Lord. So we can learn from here that we as Christians need to be sure of the God that has called us, the God that we serve. Yeah, we need to have a real relationship with Him that can be proven anywhere. Yeah, that can be defended anywhere. That is, you need to have a strong relationship with God in such a way that your God will be able to defend you anywhere. Yeah, that was the kind of relationship Moses had with God, even from that moment he was called by God. He had begun to seek to know who God is, not only for himself, but for his ministry to be real and powerful. Yeah. So from the point where he was being called, you know, from that moment when God appeared to him to call him and to send him to the Hebrews who are suffering in Egypt, he had begun to seek to know who God is, both for himself and for the validation of his ministry. Yeah. For the originality of his ministry, to show people that that his calling is original and that his ministry is real. Yeah, because the people would ask him, what is the name of this God that you said has sent you to us? So to validate that he knows what he's saying, and he knows who he's talking about. So he demanded that God tell him his name. Yeah, so if you are a Christian, and maybe you have been a Christian for some years now, and you don't even know the God that you said I've called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You don't know the God that you said is your father. Yeah, then how, or maybe I should say, what kind of Christian are you? You have no personal relationship with the God that have saved you. What manner of Christian are you? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you can see that Christianity is a calling. To be a Christian is to be called out of darkness into God's light. So the first thing God does is he calls us unto himself. And after that, after we have grown in our relationship with him, then he will now send us out into the world. Yeah. That's the way he first of all called the disciples unto himself. We know about the 12 disciples. We knew about the 72 disciples. And then we know about the 120 disciples. Because after Jesus went up into heaven, after his resurrection, the disciples that were together in one accord in the upper room, yeah, you know, who later got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said they were 120. Yeah, so these are the people that we can say are Jesus' disciples. So Jesus, first of all, he called them unto himself, so that they can know him, so that they can learn of him. And then eventually he sent them out. Yeah, to preach. So we have this first calling. So every Christian have this first calling, which is to come out of darkness into God's light, to come out of the world into a close relationship with God, to come out of sin into holiness, to come out of pollution and corruption into purity. Yeah, that is our first calling. Now, it is after you have now been with the Lord for some time that you can now receive a second calling. Yeah, but in the case of Moses, there was nothing like first calling. Yeah, he was receiving the second call, because the second call is when God appears to you or visits you through his voice, or whichever way he decides to visit you. When God appears to you, maybe through dream or whatever, and then he gives you specific assignment to do for him, that is the second calling. When God appears to you to send you on an errand, whether the assignment is going to be fulfilled very fast, or is going to take a long time to fulfill the assignment. Yeah, but the fact remains that you were sent on an assignment by God. So that is a second call. Now, Moses did not have the privilege of the first calling that we have today. Yeah. When he met with God face to face, God was meeting with him to send him on an errand, to send him on assignment, or on an assignment. And that was why he was asking for his name. Yeah. So, but you, is not today you are becoming a Christian. You claim to have been a Christian for some time now. So you have this first calling. Then ask yourself, how much of this God that have called me out of darkness into his light, do I know? How much of him do you know? Jesus told us in John chapter 10 that his sheep hear his voice. His sheep hears his voice. Do you hear his voice? And can you differentiate between his voice and the voice of a stranger? Can you demonstrate, can you differentiate, between the voice of Jesus and the voice of a stranger? Praise the Lord. So we can see that God wants to be known by us. He wants to be known by you. Now, in that John chapter 10, verse 26 and 27, John 10:26-27, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Also, if you read I want to read let me read the same John chapter 10 verse 8. It says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And also if you read verse 5, John chapter 10, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They know not the voice of strangers. So do you know his voice? Do you have a strong relationship with the Lord that you know his voice, and that you can differentiate between his voice and that of a stranger? If you like, for instance, now I know the voice of my mother, and I also know the voice of my wife. So if I close my eyes and a lot of people are talking, maybe thousands of people are talking, with my eyes closed I can pick my mother, and I can pick my wife from the midst of the crowd just through the voice. So I don't even need to see anything. Because of that relationship I have with them, I'm so familiar with their voices that I can easily identify them and identify their voices among many other voices. Yeah, so the more you are intimate with the Lord, the more closer you are to the Lord, the more you will know His voice and will be able to differentiate His voice from that of strangers. So Moses knew he knew God's voice. On the long run, after this encounter in Exodus 3, verse 13 and 14, Moses began to build a very close relationship with God, to the point that he would hear God face to face and hear Him very clear. Yeah. So as Christians, we need to really know this God that we claim have called us out of darkness into His light. We need to know Him. Him who have saved our souls. You need to know Him. I'm talking about deep relationship with Him. Deep intimacy with Him. Strong relationship with Him. That is our first calling, to be with Him and to know Him. Yeah. So if you know Him, you will be able to witness Him to the world, proclaim Him to the world with confidence. Yeah, there are many ministers out there that are not sure of the God they are telling people about. They are not sure of the word of God they are preaching. They are not sure of the one who they claim called them into ministry. They are not even sure of Him. They are not even sure of what that God can do through them. They are not sure of it. They are not sure of what they tell the people that the God who have called them can do. They are not sure that this God can open the blind eyes. They are not sure that this God that have called them, or that they said called them into ministry, and actually deliver people from sin. Because even they themselves, they are in all kinds of bondages in their personal life. So then how can they boldly and confidently preach a God they do not know intimately? So if you want to have a powerful ministry, you have to know the God that you say called you. The God that you claim have called you into ministry. You have to know Him. How frequent do you hear from Him? Now, when we say know His voice, His voice can come in different ways, but what is important is that you received a message from the Lord. For instance, there is what we call sign language. Yeah, there is what we call sign language. This is how people who are deaf and dumb, this is how, you know, human beings communicate with them. They communicate with signs. Yeah. So sometimes you just do some signs with your hand, and then the deaf person, we hear you. We know exactly what you are, the message you are passing across. So hearing from God is not limited to an audible voice, a still small voice. It's just about the fact that God sent a message and you got it. You ask God, Lord, I need your direction about this. I want to know what you are saying about this. And then he sent the message and then you got it. Yeah, so it might not come in form of a voice, but you know that you have this relationship with God that is real and is working. Yeah, you know that God speaks to me and I hear and I know whenever he speaks. And I'm sure that it is him that has spoken, not another God, not another spirit. Yeah, so we must have that relationship with God. Otherwise, we will not survive in these last days. Yeah, because that is what will make us survive. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Now take note of out of the mouth of God. So, which means it's a progressive thing. It says, by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So, which means God is speaking. He has the mouth and he's speaking. So, don't just say, oh, God have given us the Bible. As long as all that God wants to say to me is in the Bible. As long as I read the Bible, that is all. No, it says out of the mouth of God. So even after you have read the Bible, you still need to hear from the mouth of God. That is how you will survive. So there is a progressive relationship that God has been having with mankind from the Old Testament days until today. So God has been speaking to human beings. He wants to be known by us. And that was why Jesus said, seek and you will find. Then seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah. So even as you read the Bible, God is still saying something concerning what you are reading in the Bible. God is still saying something. And you should listen. Yeah, so we live by the word that comes out of the mouth of God, which is usually full of revelations, instructions, directions. That is how we live. So endeavor to have this relationship with God where you are able to know him, that is, he's able to reveal himself to you. Through whatever channel he chooses, make sure he reveals himself to you and that you know him for yourself. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will reveal himself to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. That is just by the way. We are going back to where we started from. So let us go back to Exodus. Open your Bibles to Exodus 3 verse 14. Exodus 3 verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. New Living Translation put it this way. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. So what is the meaning of that name? I am who I am. This is the first place in the Bible, and perhaps the only place in the Bible where God actually reveal his name. That is who he is. Yeah, every other names that we have read about in the Bible, like Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh is the same as Jehovah, and then the Lord, God, so many names in the Bible. They are according to God's position, yeah, God's title. Yeah, it's just like, it's just like when you call your boss, the CEO, you say, oh, that is the CEO, that is the general managing director, or I don't know what people call the highest person in a company. Yeah. So much of the names that is in the Bible, they are either according to God's position, according to who he is in terms of title, position. Yeah, or according to function, who he is in terms of operation, according to what he does, his act. Yeah, much of the names of God are according to those two, title and actions, position and function. Yeah, and sometimes according to according to responsibility, like we call him the Father. Yeah, God the Father, and then we call him, he's also the husband, the bridegroom. Yeah. God is the husband of the church. He is the bridegroom. And then he's the Father. So those are responsibilities. Those are his names according to his responsibilities. Just as the husband is responsible to the wife. So God is responsible to us. And then the Father is responsible to his child. So God is responsible to us because he gave birth to us and he created us. Yeah, but if you look at this name that God mentioned here in Exodus 3, you're going to see that he's revealing his nature, or more of his personality. Yeah. So this name is very special. When he said, I am that I am. I am who I am. So it's a very special and powerful name. And it has very deep meaning. So this morning, we're going to look at the revelation in this name. I am who I am. Now, I want us to look at Exodus. Isaiah. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. I'm going to read verse 14. Isaiah 29. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We can see from this verse that God is a being that cannot He cannot stop being who he is. His personality is founded or rooted in victory and dominion. So when he says, I am that I am, now, he is above everything. He is above all. So now, God is saying to Moses that, my name is that I'm a being that remains who I am forever. And no one will be able to stop me. No one can change. No one can change who I am. That's what God is saying. So he is like saying, I am the highest, I am the most powerful, and nothing can change that. If all my enemies in their billions come against me to change that, they will all perish. Yeah. So that was why he said here, he said he will proceed to do a marvelous work, and he will put wise people to shame. Yeah, he said the wisdom of their wise shall the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. Yeah. The understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. That is, shall disappear. Shall be useless. Yeah. So God remains the same forever. And no one can change who he is. So if he reveals himself as this, as that, that revelation of him remains forever. So if God reveals himself as a merciful God, that revelation of him remains forever. And no one can change it. That is, no one can change the fact that he's merciful, and no one can make him to be something else different from who he has revealed himself to be. So this name, I am that I am, or I am who I am, also means that we can't know everything that he is. So it's a mystery name, showing that we can't even know everything that he is. It is what he reveals that we can know. What he reveals of himself that you can know, that we can know. But all that he is, we can't know. So it's more like saying, I am what I want you to know about me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's like saying, I am what I reveal that I am. Yeah. I am what I show that I am. So which means I am more than even what I have revealed that I am. Yeah. And then the name is also showing us that what he has revealed that he is cannot be reversed and cannot change. So he has revealed that he is holy, and that remains forever. He has revealed to us that he heals and that he delivers. That remains forever. So why should we believe otherwise? After God has revealed who he is, why should we believe otherwise? Now, let us also look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I'm going to read verse 13. Or let me read from verse 12. Isaiah 43. I have declared and have saved, and I have shewed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will walk, and who shall let heed? Yeah, you can see he said, none can. Always have my way. Yeah, and then he said, I will walk, and who shall let it? That is, I will walk, and no one can stop me, and no one can then undo whatever I have done. So whatever I do remains forever. So this is the God we serve. This is the God that have called us out of darkness unto himself. Yeah, this is the God that have called us out of sin, out of spiritual death, unto himself. We saw how he dealt with Pharaoh until Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Yeah. We saw how he parted the Red Sea. And he used the Red Sea as a weapon to drown all his enemies. This is the God that we serve. I am who I am. Yeah, so we cannot change who he is. No one can change who he is. And no one can stop him. No one can undo his works. So when God heals, no one can reverse it. No power can undo it. Except maybe you yourself. Yeah, because Jesus told that man that was healed. He said, make sure that you sin no more so that something worse will not happen to you. Yeah, he told him that. Don't sin anymore so that something bad will not happen to you. Not bad, something worse. That is something worse than the sickness or the disease or the problem that was taken away from his life. Yeah. So, the only thing that I believe can reverse the goodness of God in our lives is our sins. Yeah. Which is the same thing with saying, it is the same with saying that you are the one that can reverse God's operations in your life. Apart from you, no personality, no creature, no body, whether visible or invisible, whether spirit or physical bodies or physical things can undo whatever you have done. So that is the meaning of the name. Of course, not the meaning in full, but that is part of the meaning of the name of God that says, I am that I am. I am that I am. Now we know that God is in all things because he's the one holding all things together. So which means he is in all things. Now let us confirm that in Colossians. Open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. The reason why we are looking at this topic, which I call the revelation in the name of God, is to widen your perspective about God to widen your understanding of Him so that you can really seek to know Him more, because He is beyond what you think you have known all this while. He is very deep. He is very deep. Now, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. I believe you are reading your Bible. This is Colossians chapter 1 from verse 16. When you are in God's presence and we are talking about the scriptures, you should open your Bibles and read along. Yeah. You should open your Bibles. Now, verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, another translation said, He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. He said, and by Him all things consist. So He holds all creation together. So that is the God that we serve. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Verse 17 says, He holds all creation together. By Him all things consist. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So He holds all creation together, including His enemies. He created all things, including His enemies. Have you ever thought of that? That even God's enemies were created by Him. Yeah. He created all things, including, He's holding all things together, including the heart of His enemies. Yeah, so God is holding the hearts of His enemies. So if He wants His enemies to stop breathing, to stop living, Is it hard for Him? He's holding all things together, including sicknesses and diseases. He's holding them together, holding all creation together. Everything that exists is holding them together. So now, tell me, if you are holding something, can't you do anything you want with that thing? Yeah, can't you scatter it? Can't you move it? Can't you destroy it? Yeah, because you are holding everything together. That is, how do I put it? If you pick a ball, uh, not Should I use ball as an example? Yeah, I can use anything as an example. Let's say you pick a fruit. Yeah, maybe apple fruit or banana. Yeah, so when the Bible says God is holding all creation together, it means that the banana that you are looking at, and then the banana look like is fresh, is nice. Yeah, that banana is in shape because God is holding it together. That's what it means. That is, everything looks beautiful, nice, and looks in shape. Everything looks whole. That is, everything is together. I don't know if I'm getting my point. So everything is looking nice because something is holding them together. So all the atoms, the molecules, or in terms of a living organism, you can see all the cells, the tissues. Yeah, someone is holding them together. So that holding together means that whatever form anything takes today, it is God that have made it to take that form. So the way the banana is looking, is it is God that is holding all those particles together to look like that. So if God wants to change the look, is it hard? It's not hard. It's just to rearrange things, and then the banana that you're looking at can just change into another thing. Perhaps could change into pineapple all of a sudden, or could change into whatever you want. He wants it to change into. So God is holding all creations together means that He's the one that is making things look the way they look, things appear the way they appear, things function the way they function, things become whatever they are. Yeah, and then He can decide to dissolve those things. Yeah, it's just the way you throw a cube of sugar into water, and the sugar dissolves. Yeah. So since He's the one holding all things together, He could just dissolve all things. Yeah, He's the life that is sustaining all things. Yeah. So once He is out of all things cease to exist. I don't know if you are getting my point. So the beauty that anything has today is God. Yeah, if you have ever seen any beautiful thing, that beauty is God. Because He is the one that is holding all things together. He is the one that decide the form of that thing. That is the one that decides how that thing should look. Yeah. Yeah. He is the one that is holding all the particles that forms that thing. Before that thing looks beautiful. Is the one that is holding those particles or cells or whatever they call the tiniest form of an element. Yeah, is the one that arranges everything and then it looks beautiful to your eyes. So the same way He arranges those things by joining all of them together to look the way they look, the same way also He can scatter those things. Yeah, so the life that the principalities have, the powers of darkness have, the life that Satan has in himself, that life is God. Yeah, so God is the one holding all of them together, making them to live. So is it hard for Him? to deal with his enemies? No, because it is he himself that is holding his enemies together, making them to live. So if God is out of all things, everything ceases to exist. Once God is out of all things, they cease to exist. In fact, they become dust. If God is out of your body right now, this your body that you are looking at is going to turn into dust instantly. It will cease to exist. It's not even going to die. It's going to disappear instantly. It's going to turn into dust. Yeah, because we came from dust. We came from the dust of the ground. And then the breath of God gave us a survivor, or make us to be alive. So if God is out, every creation is gone. Yeah, so that's what it means, that he is holding all creation together. It's not, it's more than he's joining, it's more than joining things together. It's like, it is more than that. It includes the life that everything has. So God is that life that everything has. Yeah. So you take God out of everything, they are gone. Yeah. And they will perish immediately. Yeah. They will perish immediately. So if we serve a God as deep and great as it is, why are we still fearful? Why is it so difficult for us to trust him? Why do we doubt him if we serve a God as deep and as great as this? Yeah, and this also implies that God is the one holding your problems together. He's the one holding your sickness and disease together. And that also implies that it will cost him nothing to move that problem out of your life. Since the problem is there because he wants it to be there. So it costs him nothing to move it out of your life. It costs him nothing to move the sickness out, to move the disease out, to move the demons out. Since he's the one holding the demons together. Yeah. You know, before I used to think that if anybody or any Christian is going to experience deliverance, I used to think they have to really manifest, you know, the way people manifest when demons are about to come out or lose their holds over their lives. You know, the way some will start rolling on the ground, shouting. So I used to think that those manifestations need to happen before we can see someone has been delivered. But then God began to show me more of himself. And he said, that don't need to happen. Yeah, that the demons can just move out in a way that even the person that has those demons will not be able to trace when the demons actually went out. They will just go out quietly. Why? Because it is God who is holding even those demons together. So he can, within the twinkle of an eye, just relocate them, remove them from the lives of people. He can remove sickness, disease within twinkle of an eye. Even without you feeling anything, you know, some people, they want to before they believe or agree that God has touched them, or has healed them. They want to feel something. They want to feel maybe. They want to feel like electricity passing through their body, or they want to feel like fire burning in them or passing through their body. So some people, they want to feel the anointing. They want to feel God's power before they can agree that a miracle has happened in their lives. If you're like that, your faith is weak. Yeah, I know this God to be able to remove things and you won't even feel anything. He will remove things from your life and you won't even feel anything. You won't feel like anything happened, but that problem is gone. You just discover that maybe you now go back to the hospital to check, and then you'll just, you know, the doctor will just look at you and say, "What happened? I can't find the sickness there anymore. I can't find the problem there." Yeah. So the same way God can remove problems from your life, He can also move blessings into your life. Since He's the one holding all things together, and since nobody can stop Him, yeah, because He is the I Am, yeah, nobody can stop Him. So He can move blessings to your life, into your life, and you don't even need to ask people for help. Or call some people on your phone to ask for money. You just discover that it keeps moving all things into your life. Because when you are holding something, you can move it. Yeah, so this is how great our God is. I have witnessed a lot of miracles in my own life, personally, that confirms the fact that this God is more than what anybody know about Him, know Him to be. He is far more than what we have, what the whole Bible revealed about Him. He is greater than what anybody think of Him. He is so deep and so powerful and so great, and I have seen His power. I have seen His glory. That is why I can boldly preach these things to you and teach these things to you, because I know the God that I serve. I have seen Him. I have touched Him. And I know the God who have sent me. Yeah. Before we pray, let me show you something. Open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, New Living Translation says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. Praise the Lord. That we saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. So have you seen him? Have you touched him? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you know him, you will stop doubting. If you know him, you will stop being so fearful of your enemies, being so fearful of problems, of darkness. Yeah, so I have shown you who this God is, your Creator, my Creator, your Father, my Father, your Savior, your Lord. Will you trust him? Will you seek him so that you can also be able to see what this man said, this man of God said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, we have seen him, we have heard him, we have touched him, we saw him with our own eyes. So they could not deny what they have seen. I pray that you will know God to that point, in the name of Jesus. So we are going to pray, and then I will also pray for you, and also pray on your water. If you are joining us for the first time, I used to pray on water towards the end of this meeting, of this program. Yeah, so even right now, you should get some water. Maybe get it in a bottle or in a cup. Yeah, I'm going to pray on it. And the power of God is going to manifest as you use the water on yourself. Whether drink it, yeah. Whether you drink it or whatever you do with the water on yourself, God is going to use it for your healing and deliverance. Yeah, so we do that. Now we are going to pray. You have heard this message. Do you really believe all that you have heard? If you do, I want you to talk to God. You're going to say, Father, you are, I am, that I am. And I want to know you for myself personally. Reveal yourself to me. You're going to say, Father, you are. I am that I am. I want to know you personally for myself. Reveal yourself to me personally. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Say, Father, your word has revealed your name. And you said in your word that you are, I am that I am. I want to know you for myself. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. I believe you're praying. Reveal yourself to me, O Lord. I want to be able to say, I have seen you face to face. I want to be able to say, I have heard from you. And that I am sure that I have heard from you. Oh Lord, I want to be able to say, I have touched you. And I am sure that it is you that I have touched. Oh Lord, reveal yourself to me. I have saw in your word that you are the one holding all things together, including every part of me. So therefore, it is not hard for you to reveal yourself to me because you're already in me. And you are even the life by which I live. You are the life by which I am surviving and I am existing. Therefore, it is not hard for you to reveal yourself to me. Since you are the one giving me the existence that I am. Oh Lord, reveal yourself to me now. I want to know you beyond the books. I want to know you practically. I want to know you experientially. I want to know you intimately. I want to know you personally. Reveal yourself to me, O Lord. I hope you're praying this prayer from your heart. I hope you're praying this prayer from your heart. If you know Him indeed, your life will not be the way it is now. You will not be confused. You will not be bound. You will be free if you know Him. True freedom is in knowing Him. Eternal life is in knowing Him. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him to reveal Himself in you. He's already in you. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you and in you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, we have two more prayer points. Before, I will be praying for you. I mentioned in the teaching that everything God has revealed Himself to be remains forever. And we already know a lot of that. He has revealed Himself to be a lot in the Bible. To be the provider, the healer, the redeemer, the restorer, the deliverer, the helper. He has revealed himself to be a lot already. And all that he has revealed himself to be remains forever. So he said, I am that I am. So no one can change who he is in your life except you alone through your unbelief and sin and disobedience. You can. Yeah, you can stop the flow of his goodness in your life. You can disconnect yourself from who he is in your life. So you're going to pray. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Father, let all that you have revealed yourself to be manifest and walk in my life. Yeah, you're going to say, Father, let all that you have manifest and operate in my life and walk in my life. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Begin to pray. Really like that. The Bible says that the secret things belongs to the Lord. But the ones that he has revealed belongs to us and our children. Say, oh Lord, let all that you have revealed that you are manifest in my life and operate in my life and walk in my life. All that you have revealed that you are. Let it manifest in my life. All that God has revealed that he is you. Right here. In your body, in your soul, in your spirit, in the head. All that he has revealed that he is right here. Everyone that believes that he can do those things that he has revealed that he can do, will see him do those things in their lives. Pray, God has revealed himself to be the restorer. So that means whoever believes that he can restore good things to them, we have those good things restored. Whoever believes that he can heal them, we have we see themselves healed. So all that he has revealed are right here to happen again and again and again in your life, in my life. Talk to him. Say, Father, all that you have revealed yourself to be, let them manifest in my life. And let them happen in my life. Let them walk in my life. You have revealed that you are the Savior. You have revealed that you are the sanctifier. You are the one that makes people holy. Do that in my life. Begin to talk to him like that. Say, Father, you have revealed that you are the one that gives life to the dead. You give strength to the weak. Do that in me. That's the meaning of that prayer point. all that you have revealed that you are, O Lord, let them manifest in my life and walk in my life and come to pass in my life. In the name of Jesus, do that which you have revealed you do. You have revealed that you always do, that you can do. Do it in me right now. Do it in my life right now. Do it in my body. All that you have revealed that you are. Manifest that in my body. Manifest that which you have revealed that you are in my body. And let the operation that follows that revelation of who you are also happen in my body. May Father manifest what you are in me. And let the works that follows who you are also manifest in me, also happen in me right now. Do the same in my body, soul, and spirit, and in my entire life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. The last prayer point. I have revealed to you from the scriptures that God is the one holding all things together. The form of all things, the appearance of all things, it is God that have determined him. Even the form of your life right now, the appearance of your life right now, God is the one holding it together. Your situations, or your situation, God is the one holding it together. Your life is the way it is because God allowed it. So you're going to pray. If he is holding all things together, holding them in position, then he can move them out of position. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I acknowledge and agree that you are the one holding all things together. Therefore, Lord, move of my life or remove from my life everything that does not glorify you. Remove from my body, remove from my soul, remove from my spirit everything that does not glorify you. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Everything that is not according to your will. Say, oh Lord, you are the one holding those things together. Remove them now. Whether forcefully or quietly, oh Lord, remove those things from my life right now. Remove them from my body. Whatever they are, wherever they come from, remove them. Remove them with your hand by which you are holding them together. Remove them now from my life forever. Thank you, Lord. I see God doing that already. Pray. Pray. He can remove anything, whether it is poverty, whether it is suffering, limitation, captivity, whether they are demons or demonic oppression or possession. Say, oh Lord, by your hand with which you have held all things together, remove everything that should not be in my life. Remove them now. Remove them now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you now and on your water. I believe you have gotten the water ready, whether it's a cup of water or a bottle of water. Yeah, place the water before you as I pray right now. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your power that does not fail. Thank you for your name that you have revealed to us. For you are I am that I am. You do not change, and you do not fail. And you always have your way. No one can stop you. Whoever tries that, they perish immediately. We thank you, Lord, for revealing your name to us so that we can trust you more. We thank you for you are a great God who reveals and confirms your name through signs and wonders. You don't just speak of yourself. You also confirm who you are with great power and with great miracles. And we are so happy about this. We are so excited about this. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, your people are here right now. And they need your help. They need your touch. They need your blessings. Father, touch them now. And help them, and heal them, and bless them, and deliver them in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you manifest your power in the water they have placed before you right now. Because you are also the one holding the waters together. You are the one holding all the waters in the world together. So therefore I ask that you manifest yourself in the water your people have placed before you right now. Manifest your power right there. Manifest your fire right there. Manifest your dominion right there. And as your people drink this water or sprinkle sprinkle it on themselves or pour it upon themselves. Let your power manifest in them instantly. In Jesus' name, let there be mighty healing miracles through this water. In Jesus' name, let there be great deliverances and victories as your people use this water. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Thank you, I am that I am. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Endeavor to invite more people to be joining this meeting so that God can touch them. God bless you.